Good morning, everybody. We are going to go ahead and get right into the message. Actually, I just lied to you. I have an announcement that I would like to make first. It is my honor to announce to you today that Katie and Nathan are engaged to be married. I have seen the ring, and it is quite impressive, and Nathan picked it out himself. So at this time, I'm going to have you both come up and give a dissertation on what marriage means to you. They're like, nope, not going to happen. All right, we're going to start our message today. During this time, during the holidays, I hear a lot of stories about families that get together, because there are certain families, let's just face it, every family has those certain members that are a little tough to deal with sometimes. And Christmas seems to be the, and you all look at us like, yeah, you know who's your sister. And during this time, it seems that everyone gets all the family together. And leading up to it, everyone has high expectations of, oh, this is going to be awesome. We're going to get the family together. And then it happens. And then you remember why you only see certain people once a year. Is that just me? The whole Brake family's back there going, ooh. But you know what? There's a verse in the Bible, and it made me think about this in Luke chapter 17, verse 1. And this is out of the New King James Version, because I like the wording better. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples, and he says, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come." He says, it's impossible that you're not going to get offended by someone. It is impossible to live a life where you never are offended, or you never offend someone else. It's part of life. And as long as we are in this sinful carriage known as the flesh, we are going to be offended and we are going to offend. It's just the way it is. How we handle those offenses can be critical to our marriages, to our families, and actually to our physical health. And the way that we need to handle this is by what? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. The word forgive means to give up resentment of or claim to requital for. And I love the Hebrew word is nasa, and that's the name of my message today. It means to take away or to carry off. And if you look in the Greek, it is aphiemi, and it means to send away, to let go, or to give up. There's a study from Duke University Medical Center, and it demonstrated that those who forgive others experience lower levels of chronic pain and less associated psychological problems like anger and depression than those who have not forgiven. Those who hold on to anger and hurt tend to have poor health, a weakened immune system, and are more prone to chronic illness such as cancer. This is due to a rise in the level of the stress hormone cortisol that suppresses the immune system. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had some people do some pretty rotten things to me in my life. And there are certain people that when they pop into our mind or into our memory, we actually feel that sick feeling in our gut. Have you ever had that? You actually physically feel what you're thinking in your mind and in your heart. It goes from a thought to a physical thing. It is that release of cortisol in your body, and it gives you that sick feeling in your stomach. And that's why it says that forgiveness is so important. It is so very important because it will make you sick if you're unforgiving. So we're going to look at a few things about forgiveness. And one of them is, what kind of things do I need to forgive? In Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, it says, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And the word sin there is, in the Hebrew, is paraptama. And it means a lapse or deviation from truth and uprightness, or a misdeed, whether intentional or unintentional. You see, sometimes we get offended by someone and they did not mean to offend us. It was not intentional, but it's an offense nonetheless. This is talking about actual sin. When someone sins against you, the Bible says we need to forgive them. We need to forgive those things. When someone sins against you, you need to forgive them. All right, now let's look at another verse in Mark chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. It says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. The word, or the phrase, anything, if you hold anything against anyone, the Hebrew word or phrase is tiskata, and it means general things, but not sin. So there are certain times when we sin against someone else or someone else sins against us, we have to forgive. But there are other things that are not categorized as sin that we still need to forgive. Does anyone know anyone who's passive-aggressive? We all do. That is not a sin per se, but it can be an offense. And God says when someone rubs you the wrong way, you need to forgive them. You need to forgive them. How often do I need to forgive someone? Once? Twice? Well, in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22, do we have that one, Kim? Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? You see, this is, Peter was an interesting character. Peter was kind of arrogant. Peter was the first one to raise his hand. Peter was the first one to speak out. Peter was the first one to say, Lord, I'll follow you into the depths of hell. Peter was the first one to step out of the boat. From what I can gather from the scriptures, he was a little crass, a little brass, a little brash. He spoke whatever came into his head, sometimes not thinking. But Peter here is saying, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brothers and sisters who sin against me? And then he throws in up to seven times. You see, the word or the number seven in the Bible means completeness. Should I forgive them completely? He was kind of going, you know, I'm a pretty good dude. I can forgive people up to seven times. And Jesus responds, sometimes it's going to be 70 times seven. You see, the number of completeness, Jacob bowed down to Esau seven times. The priest would sprinkle blood before the curtain seven times. They sprinkled oil on an infected person seven times to declare them clean. God said he would punish Israel seven times over if they continued to disobey him. When the number seven is being used, God is saying a completeness until it is finished. So Jesus is telling Peter, you need to forgive every single time. Now, there's a caveat to that, because a lot of people have said to me, well, what about a woman who has been abused in a relationship? If she's going to forgive him, that means that she has to go back into that relationship. No, it does not. To forgive is not to step back into harm's way. To forgive is to release that, but there are still boundaries. If someone abuses one of my grandkids, my Bible says I need to forgive. As much as I would want to pulverize that person, my Bible says I need to forgive. That doesn't mean I take my grandchildren back over to their home. No, you establish boundaries. But there needs to be that forgiveness in the heart. Forgive does not mean to forget. And I don't think anywhere in the scriptures it says you need to forgive and forget. No, that's not the case. We need to forgive. But in certain situations, we need to establish boundaries. Because as a parent, as a grandparent, it's our duty to protect our kids and our grandkids. That would be ridiculous to put them back into that situation. So to forgive is not to forget and just to go about life normally. No, there's got to be wisdom and there's got to be discernment in that as well. But forgiveness still needs to happen. So what if I choose not to forgive? Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. It says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." You can insert "then," because this is a conditional statement. A conditional statement is a if-then. If you do this, then this will happen. If you forgive, then your Father will forgive you. If you do not forgive, the Father will not forgive you. So there is a benefit, a huge benefit, of us being able to forgive someone who has sinned against us. What is that benefit? Because then every time that we have offended or we have sinned against someone else, God will forgive us of those things. Because we're all guilty of it. Every single one of us. Amen? So, what if I choose not to forgive? Then you will not be forgiven. It's simple as that. Is there anything that I do not have to forgive? I have a lot of people that I have counseled with that have said, "You don't understand what this person has done to me. You don't understand how much I suffered under this person. You don't understand what they did and the pain that it costs." My response to that is always Luke chapter 23, verses 33 and 34. And this is Jesus being led out to Golgotha. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." When you have been offended worse than what happened to Jesus, then you have a right not to forgive. When someone nails you to a cross, opens up your back with a cat of nine tails, puts nails through your hands and your feet, then you have a right, possibly, not to forgive them. And actually, you have to forgive them anyways. But I always say, have you been crucified? Have you had your back laid open? Have you been spat upon? Have you had your hair pulled out? Have you worn a crown of thorns? And I've never had anyone say, "Yes, I have." Well, then you need to forgive. You need to forgive. How? How can I forgive? How can the woman who was sexually abused forgive? How does a child who is sexually and emotionally abused by her parents or grandparents or an aunt or an uncle possibly forgive? The way that we do that, we have to go back to the Hebrew and the Greek word for forgive. Remember, the Greek word is aphiemi, and it means to send away, to let go, or to give up. Send away, let go, or give up. What's interesting is that puts the power on you. You need to send it away. You need to let go, and you need to give it up. That is the Greek word, aphiemi. It's interesting, the Hebrew word is nasa, and it means to take away, or to carry off. You see, the power and the authority is not in the person who needs to forgive. It's not upon you. It is in the Greek version of forgiveness, but in Hebrew, the focus is on to take away, to take, or to carry off. Somebody else is going to remove that from you. You just have to let them do it. And that person is God. You see, in the Greek, aphiemi, you're the focus. You have to be the strong one. You have to be able to do it. How many times have you tried to forgive certain people, and in your flesh, you can't do it? You can't send it away. You can't get rid of it. But the Hebrew word nasa is to take away or to carry off. Someone else is doing it. And it's a perfect picture of how we can forgive when we have a relationship with God. All we have to do is release it. All we have to do is unfurl our hands, because we hang on to that in our hearts and in our minds. Some people thrive on that. And God says, no, you know how you forgive? You let me do it. You let me make you able to do it. Because if you just do this, I will take that away. I will carry that away from you. And you don't have to carry that burden anymore. It's a perfect picture, and I've shared this story before, but some of you are newer and have not heard it. When my daughter was, oh gosh, seven or eight or something like that, she had a pair of flip-flops that were just a little bit too big for her. And I told her, do not run in your flip-flops. It's not a good thing to run in flip-flops, people. It's just not. Because eventually that toe flap is going to catch, and you are going to go, boom. Well, she wanted to go down to the neighbor's house, and I says, okay. She says, I'm wearing my flip-flops. I says, don't run. Well, she walked out of the driveway, and once she got past the trees where I couldn't see her anymore, guess what she did? She started to run. And then guess what happened? She caught her flip-flop. And guess what happened? She did a face plant in the gravel. And she didn't put her hands down first. Full-on face, right in the gravel. And she came home screaming bloody murder. She was holding her face like this, and there was blood coming out. When you get cut on your face, you bleed. And I'm like, oh no. And her mom wasn't there. Everything terrible that ever happened to my girls was when mom wasn't there. And so she's clutching her face, and I'm like, I gotta see it. And she's like, no. She wouldn't let me look at it. And I go, honey, you need to let me look at it. And so she took her hands away, and she looked like she had another set of lips on her chin right here. And there's gravel in there. There's dirt in there. And I'm like, yeah, that's going to need to be sewed up. So I had to get on the phone and call my wife and say, honey, where do we keep the kids' insurance cards in case we ever need them? She saw through my ruse and then met me at the emergency room. And they brought Ashley. I'm just going to say it. It was Ashley. They brought her in. They put her on the table, and they had to clean out that. And she would clenching. And the lady says, "You need to let go. I need to see that." And she just wouldn't do it. And then finally, she did. And it's a perfect picture of us hanging on to unforgiveness. We clench it so tight, and it's like, nope, I don't want anybody to see it. I don't want anybody to touch it. But until you let go, the healer can't heal you. That nurse was not going to force her hand off of her chin. She just wasn't going to do it. She had to do this. And it seems like such a simple act. But for her at that time, it was very difficult to do. But once she finally did it, the nurse was able to do what the nurses do and clean it out and stitch it up so that she could heal. See, we need to do that with forgiveness. We need to unclench our hands and go, okay, God, I can't take care of this myself. I can't send it away myself. I can't get rid of it myself, but I know that you can. Here, you take it. And he will. He absolutely will. Hebrews 13, verses 20 through 21. It says, now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He says, may the God of peace equip you with everything good for doing his will. When God says that we are to forgive because that is his will, he gives you the ability to do that. He does not ask us to do anything that we are not capable of doing without his help. With his help. You see, when he asks us to forgive, he says, all I need you to do is let go. I'll take care of the rest. He gives us the ability to do that. And when we don't do that, we take on all the negative aspects of unforgiveness. And it will ravage your body. It will make you sick. It will deplete your immune system so that you get sick from other things that you normally would not get sick from. It's unhealthy at its core. So if you find yourself saying, I can't forgive this person, you need to change your verbiage to, I won't. Because if you are a child of our Heavenly Father, you have the ability through him. So when you say, I can't forgive, then you are speaking from the Greek ephemi and not from the Hebrew nasa. You need to say, I won't forgive, because that is more accurate. Forgiveness has nothing to do with the other person. It is about you. It is about you. It is about you and your relationship with the Father. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. And I'm going to leave you with this last little thought. In Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 to 20, this is the story of Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was beaten by his brothers. He ended up going into Potiphar's house. He refused to sleep with Potiphar's wife, so she brought up all these allegations against him and had him thrown into jail. and he just went through a very difficult time. And he did nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. Well, he eventually becomes second in command in Egypt and is able to lead them through the famine. And the brothers come to him and they don't know who he is. And it says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of God of your father." And when their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Sometimes when we are offended by other people, it is by the hand of God, because he has something in plan. He's got something in store that we are not aware of. Every time that the brothers sinned against Joseph, Joseph did not understand what was going on. Yet he walked in forgiveness. When he was thrown into the prison, God was in the prison with him, making things happen. He had to bring these things about. If he had fallen prey to unforgiveness, God would not have been able to build him up to what he was. He would not have been able, through dreams that God gave him, to save that entire region by storing up enough grain and enough food. And you have to remember that the brothers of Joseph are the beginning of the nation of Israel. So if the nation of the brothers had died out, so would the nation of Israel. And Jesus would never have been able to be born because he came from the tribe of Judah, which was one of the brothers that was saved. You see, God sees the big picture. Too often, we just see the moment and what's happening in the moment, and we don't understand. God may be at work here. God may be at work. And to harbor that unforgiveness is to throw a monkey wrench into God's plans. You see, when we forgive, we're the beneficiaries of that forgiveness. The other person, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So we just need to nasa. When we can't do it in and of ourselves, we need God to step in. And that is when we just release and say, "Okay, God, you're going to have to take this from me because I can't do it on my own." And if we can learn to do that more in 2023, we're going to be a lot healthier as people, as children of the Father. We're going to be a lot healthier in our bodies, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Amen? Please stand.
God, we just turn to you, because every need, every burden, God, every prayer, we just say, you're the only one who can. We just say, I can't, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. God, that's not cliche. That's your eternal word. That's your eternal promise to us, that we can do all things through Christ. God, we want to say that we don't live, but Christ now lives in us. So God, we just thank you that you're going to give us the desire to do your will, God. And when we feel like we can't, we're just going to say, God, by faith, I step forward in your power, in your strength, God, in the forgiveness that Christ forgave me. With the help of the Holy Spirit, I can, by faith, forgive. And then you can start the work in us, God, as we let go. As we let go of every weight. Because you have plans for us, God. You have a purpose. You have a destiny. We don't want anything to hold us back. So I just pray right now that the Holy Spirit would speak to each one of us about what we need to let go of. And as we let go, God, we receive. We receive from you. You don't leave us empty-handed, God. But we can be filled and refilled by the Holy Spirit of every empty place. You have blessings and more blessings waiting that are spiritual, God. And we don't want to reject those and accept unforgiveness, God, but we just thank you. We just thank you, God, that we can do all these things through Christ. And you will not leave us. We just thank you, God. In Jesus' name, we pray. A blessing on travels home. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.